Blessed are the meek, Jesus says, some 2 millennia after the expulsion of Hagar into the wilderness. For they, the meek, shall inherit the earth. If this is true, our matriarch Sarah has missed the memo. She thinks she has inherited the earth, or, in keeping with her patriarchal culture, that her son, Isaac, has. The son of this slave woman, Sarah insists, shall not inherit along with my son, Isaac. To be sure, this is quite the inheritance that Sarah expects for her son. In the culture of Canaan at the time, Sarah and Abraham are quite wealthy. Sufficiently wealthy, we might say, to divide their estate in half and still offer both sons a thriving future. But Sarah will have none of it. Jealous and vindictive, haughty and hateful, Sarah claims it all for her child and casts out the child of another. For African American women, you might imagine, this tale of two mothers hits a bit too close to home. Even though race as a social construct will not be invented for another 3 millennia, and slavery in the ancient world is quite different than what slavery becomes in the Americas, there is no mistaking the parallels of Hagar's experience with that of African American women. Ethnic prejudice exacerbated by economic and sexual exploitation, says biblical scholar Renita Weems, pretty much sums up 400 years of white supremacy over Black women and their children. And yet, all mothers were summoned. The Black Lives Matter sign has declared these past 2 weeks when George Floyd called out for his mama. The response has been emphatic. Mothers of all races and nations, biological and adoptive and spiritual mothers, the daughters of Hagar and even, yes, daughters of Sarah have heeded the call. It is too early to determine the outcome of that rising, but early signs do offer a glimmer of hope. Maybe. Please, God, maybe. This time might be different. In the past 2 weeks, we have seen the white woman bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington insisting to reframe any controversy over political presence at her church buildings back onto the issues of racial justice. In the past 10 days, we have seen white businesswomen in Louisville, Kentucky, calling for justice for Breonna Taylor and challenging systemic racism in their own corporate climate. And just yesterday, we saw the white woman police chief in Atlanta voluntarily stepping down from her position in order to allow for a fresh start in building trust between police and community. Journalist Matthew Iglesias has gone so far as to call this response to our racist inheritance the Great Awakening, a kind of parallel to the Great Awakening of the 1800s that influenced the abolitionist and women's suffrage movements, and the hope that similar sweeping change may come in our time. Which leads us to the church. Our church, to be precise, Shepherdstown Presbyterian Church, where the powerful work of our adult education and social justice committees have placed racism and white privilege at the center of our own Great Awakening. And it has been hard. Un-whitewashing our history to admit, yes, we were a slaveholding congregation. Yes, our beloved meeting house we are so desperate to return to, was constructed by slave labor. Maybe it's good for us to have a time out from that place. Unwhitewashing our history. We were a Confederate hospital in the Civil War, and our session voted to expel the freed slaves who remained after that war. Oh, dear God, what an inheritance we have received. The one we did not ask for, the one we do not want, the one we wish we could hide, the one we benefit from, the one we have to figure out what to do with in this time of the Great Awakening. So, as people of faith do, we go back to our scriptures and to the God who is made known through those scriptures. Sarah and Hagar, and the God who has promised a great nation to both of their sons, and the blessing of Jesus for them and for us. Change your way of life, Jesus insists over and over in the Gospels. Change your way of life. Repent. Change. Open your heart for the reign of God, the great shalom, the peaceable kingdom, the beloved community has come near. You can almost touch it. In this reign of God, Jesus says, in this great shalom that we all say we want, it is the meek. Or in a more accurate translation, it is those who have been without power. A more faithful rendering of the Greek in this sense. It is those who have been without power that in this great shalom shall inherit. Not just in a metaphorical sense, according to the Gospel of Matthew, but in a literal, physical, financial sense. The things that have been done against you, Hagar, Jesus says. The inheritance that has been stripped from your children, Jesus says to Hagar, is about to be made right. And not just right, but better. That is what the great shalom, that is what the peaceable kingdom, the beloved community has to offer Hagar. And it is so close. Your resistance, Jesus says to Hagar, your survival, your very human being, your children, your life. Through the divine crucible of this wilderness into which you have been cast out, Jesus says, all of this makes you particularly qualified to inherit the earth because you know the good thing you are receiving through having had it taken from you. And it is on its way. Change your way of life. Open your heart, Hagar, to receive the good thing God is about to do for you and your children. And for Sarah, blessed is the one you dispossessed of her and his inheritance. Here's the good news for you, Sarah, if you want it, and your children, Sarah, if they want it. You too can inherit in the great shalom, which is coming near, if you change your way of life, if you repent, if you open your heart, and then repair, and yes, that means reparations, the damage that has been done. That is our charge today, friends. In our congregation, in our denomination, in our nation, Jesus is here telling us the dispossessed are about to inherit. And you have a choice. I hope you will choose to repent for and repair the damage that has been done from 400 years of white supremacy. And yes, if you don't know how, keep praying and I will show you. I will walk with you as you seek to live more faithfully into that beloved community Christ wants you to be. You are not ever alone on this journey. This great awakening is, in fact, a Kairos moment directly from God to give us one more chance to get it right before we lose everything in the great shalom to come. And if you, like me, want to be part of that beloved community, let's go back to Sarah and Hagar and say, we want to try again. How can we be sisters in mothering all of God's beautiful, beloved children? Amen.